And let all of God's people say, amen. He is indeed a wonderful Savior. We certainly want to be appreciative to the brothers who have come before. Certainly, Brother JT, we thank you for that wonderful opening word of prayer. Brother Pryor, certainly, thank you. And Brother Arzell, and we're going to work together this morning. I'll do my part. Want to welcome all of those of you who have come by way of social media. We're thankful for those who are gathered in this audience, those few who have come to help put on the work that we are now able to do. And we're encouraging everyone to send out invitations to various people via social media, invite them to come and to share with us in our study this morning. We're going to start by looking at Acts chapter 20, and we'll go through some lesson verses there, and we'll switch over to Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3, because you may have guessed it, we're still continuing our 365-day journey through the Bible. But I've entitled the lesson this morning, Will You Answer the Call? Will you, individually, is a question for all of us. Will you answer the call? My name is Ray Wilkerson. I'm the assistant to Brother Gary Smith here, and I have the privilege of sharing the lesson this morning. And you remember a fighter by the name of Muhammad Ali? Do y'all remember a great boxer by the name of Muhammad Ali? He was going around saying that he was the greatest that ever lived. I am the greatest. And Muhammad Ali had a sparring partner by the name of Larry Holmes. Those of you who remember boxing might remember Larry Holmes, but he was initially a sparring partner with Muhammad Ali. And I remember one fight after Muhammad Ali had become very much aged and he'd moved on down the line, and he and Larry Holmes were fighting. And the bell rang, and Muhammad Ali was sitting on the stool, and he just waved. It's like, no, I'm not coming back out there. He would not answer the call. Sometimes you can get beat down in life. And there are a lot of things that are going on that might seem to beat us down in life. We've got all of this turmoil in the country behind the economics that are facing us because of the COVID virus. We have people that have hospital beds that are overflowing because there is not enough room to receive all of those who are being beat down by the virus. We have political divides that are massive in this country, which has been illustrated in this particular election. All of the racism and all of the isms are coming out that were always there, but now they're just coming out to the surface, and you can see things somewhat more plainly. And there are people that are depressed, and people are committing suicide, and people are just not knowing which way to go. We couldn't even sit down with our families during the Thanksgiving holidays like we usually do, and people are going like, I'm all beat down in life. But my question is, will you answer the call? In Acts chapter 20, let's take a look at a few verses here. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and after the uproar was ceased, there was an uproar. There was a riot. There was a riot in Ephesus because Apostle Paul and those brothers stood and preached the good news of Jesus Christ. And it got so bad that Paul, of course, left out of town because there was a riot in the city. And then verse number 1, after the uproar was ceased, after all of this stuff was going on, the Bible says, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them. You know, we're living in a time where they're telling you that the handshakes are dead. We started doing the bump with the elbow, some doing with the foot. And, you know, I've been saying like, okay, I'm giving threes. That's the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We don't embrace anymore. But Paul called them together pre-COVID, and he embraced them and departed to go into Macedonia. In verse number 2, and when he had gone over those parts. So Paul went over those parts and had given them much exhortation Paul was encouraging the saints, and we want to encourage brothers and sisters. Stand up, will you, my brother? Stand up, my sister. Will you stand up? It doesn't matter that there are riots. It doesn't matter that there are divisions. There doesn't matter. It doesn't matter all of this confusion. Stand up. Will you stand up? Will you answer the call? He gave them much exhortation, encouraging them. Bible says, and there abode 3 months. He is standing there for 3 months now, and notice this. Your enemies don't always rest. Your enemies don't always give you rest. The enemies rose up against him, and the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria. He purposed to return through Macedonia. What do you do when you know people are digging holes for you, digging ditches for you? Folk are trying to undermine you. Folk are trying to take you down. You know, you can't worry about people that are trying to bring you down. Know that we're going to pass out of this life. Do you know that? The only thing that is going to count is the work that we do for God. And the question is, will you answer the call? Will I answer the call? Will we stand in the gateway of the gospel call and answer the call to do the job that God has called for his servants to do? Brother, listen. Sister, listen. My suggestion to you is that we stand fast, that we stand up, and we answer the call of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, and just verse number 1. Now, the 365-day journey through the Bible covers Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, and Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3. And obviously, we won't be able to go through all of these. Brother Gary, this seems like this should be a series. I need a series for this. We are getting ready at the first of the year to add some changes to start the first quarter. One of the studies that we'll have in the first quarter is the book of Romans. And I suggest that you sign up and you find your place and study with us through the book of Romans. It's going to be a great study. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. First of all, we got to recognize who we are. Paul recognized who he was. After the riot, after you've been run out of town in Ephesus, and you go through these areas and you preach the gospel in the Asian area, in the area of Asia or Macedonia, and people are lying in wait for you, and folk are trying to take you out, you've got to know who you serve. Paul had no doubts. After a riot, I know we've never seen anything like this. What would it be like if we had a riot right here in Fifth Ward after preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who's going to be ready to stand up and get into the pulpit? Let them riot. Let them say. Let them do whatever. I don't care if they're lying out there, lying waiting to try to take me down. Stand up. I'm going to answer the call. Come out of the corner. When the bell rings, we're getting up and we're going back into the fight. Paul recognized he's a servant of Jesus Christ, and he is thankful to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Notice, called to be an apostle. You remember when he met Jesus on the Damascus road and the light shined around him brighter than the noonday sun. And Paul fell off and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." And Paul says, "What would you have me to do, Lord?" And he went in to the city and he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And from that time, he stood in the gospel call. He was thankful. Are you thankful that you are a servant of Jesus Christ? Are you thankful that God has called us into the body of Jesus Christ? Are you thankful that he has put us in the ministry? Separated unto the gospel of God. Verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Paul was showing here again, I am preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is of the seed of David. And it's a promise that God made that he was going to send his son in the flesh to redeem all mankind. Do we get that? That the gospel of Jesus Christ is what will redeem, that is to make valuable again all mankind. Now, If we're not careful, we probably have figured out there's some folk that we don't like. Has anybody lived long enough to know that there's some folk that you don't like? I know some of you have found people, some of us have found people that we don't like, because I've heard people say stuff like, that person gets on my last nerve. I always wonder, Brother Arzell, how do you know it's the last nerve? But some people irritate us. Some people aggravate us. But we've never seen anything like what Apostle Paul has gone through, where people are rioting and a whole group of people have run together and all of these people are come together. And you know what? You got to be careful about whose bandwagon you jump on. I want you to look at Acts chapter 19 and let's get verse number 32. Because when those people came together in that riot in the city of Ephesus, do you know that most of them didn't even know why they were gathered together? In Acts chapter 19 and verse number 32, the Bible says, some therefore cried one thing and some another. For the assembly was, what's the word? Confused. I'm going to tell you, hold that scripture there for a moment, because we've got a lot of confusion in the land. We got a lot of confusion. Folk are yelling this thing and folk are yelling that thing. And most of the folk don't even know what it is that they are talking about, because they have not taken time out to investigate it for themselves. They were confused. And notice, the more part, that's most of them, knew not wherefore they had come together. All of these folk that were in the riot, and most of them didn't even know why they were there. Make sure before you jump on somebody's bandwagon that you know exactly what they stand for. Before you jump on somebody's bandwagon, or before you feed the confusion, you should at least examine it for yourself and understand what is true and what is a lie. And brother, listen, sister, listen, let's support the truth. Members of the family of God, stand on truth. Exodus, the 23rd chapter and verse number 2. Exodus, the 23rd chapter and verse number 2. The Bible had told the Jews under the old law, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Don't run after folk that are doing wrong. Don't run after folk that support lies. Don't run after folks that are doing things that are contrary to the will of God. Thou shalt speak in a cause. Thou shalt speak. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to rest judgment. Don't fool yourself and don't support folk that are fooling other folk. Most of all, brother, most of all, sister, let's not fool ourselves. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4, one of my favorite verses of scripture, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4, the Bible says about Jesus, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, that's what I'm going to preach. If you want something to preach, something to teach, something to share with somebody, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Paul knew who he was. Paul called to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And as members of the family of God, my brother, as members of the family of God, we preach, we teach Jesus and him crucified. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 6, I want to drop down to this one. I want you to get this. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 6. I want to make sure you look at this one. Let's put that on the screen there. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 6, the Bible says, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus. Is that what your Bible says? Among whom ye also are the called of Jesus. You have been called. I have been called. You have been called by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you answered the call of Jesus? When you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we answered the call. And since we answered the call to become members of the family of God, the question is now, will we go out into the fight? Yes, it's a fight. We're fighting for the souls of men. We're fighting for the souls of women. We're fighting to bring folk into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, Bible says, and I thank Christ Jesus my Lord, who hath enabled me. Again, are we thankful to Jesus Christ our Lord? Because he has enabled us. Paul says, for that he counted me faithful. God allowed you. God allowed me to become a son. He allowed you to become a son. He allowed us to become sons and daughters of God. And he has put us in the ministry, counting me faithful. We have a work. I'm not talking just about the preachers. I'm not talking just about the Bible school teachers. I'm not talking about just the deacons and the elders. I'm talking about all of us who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. We received a call, if you will, of the gospel. And now the call is to go to work, to come out of the ring, to stay in the fight for Jesus Christ. No matter how difficult things might get, we must answer the call. Now, when I was putting this lesson together, I was thinking about calls that I get on my telephone. Have you gotten calls on your phone at home? You know, we have some form of caller ID now. Do you have, or do you, some calls come in, you look and you go like, no, I'm not going to answer that. When I get these calls, I've been getting some of the calls. I don't do it all the time. But every once in a while, when I get a call that I did this past week, and people call, and I said, thank you for calling me, and they're trying to sell me something. And I said, God wanted you to talk to me today. And I asked them, have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? And you should get, they're like, excuse me? People are confused when you answer the phone and you said, yes, God wanted you to hear this message today. I thought it was an opportunity. But do you know that people hang up on you when you start talking to them about Jesus? They hang up. And now they've got these robocalls that sound like they're people. And I pick up and I answer the phone and there's a robocall and I will say something. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? And it doesn't compute. It doesn't understand. The robocalls don't understand that. So they go back to their script that they're trying to narrate or to state. And then finally, even the robocall hangs up. But when you get a call, when we come into contact with folks in Walmart, when we come into contact with folk at the grocery store, when we come into contact with folk as we go and we pick up our food and we bring it back home, do we have time to say something about Jesus? Are you answering the call? Will you come out the corner? I know sometimes it's difficult. Folks are like, well, I don't know what I'm going to say. How am I going to talk to them about Jesus? What do I do? Listen, say something about the Lord. If nothing else, certainly we can invite them to attend with us in our fellowship via the social media. Tremendous example a week or two ago, a couple of weeks ago, that the leadership had set a goal that we would have 10,000 people on our worship on that particular Sunday, and we had in the two services 10,000, I believe, 377 folk that were attend and the social media. And that is wonderful. That is absolutely great. And certainly when we set goals and we reach out to meet those goals and God blesses us and we're successful, it just shows us what we can do if we answer the call. All of us have to answer the call. But that's people working together. And here's a challenge. Because we have a Sunday evening devotion. Do you know that? It's at 6 p.m. And if we have 10,000 people that attend the service, can't we have 10,000 people that attend the evening devotion? Or do we give God the day off when it comes to Sunday evening devotion? What about Bible class? There'll be Bible class at 11 o'clock, and we have classes that are structured for all ages via Zoom. Do we give God time off when it comes to Bible class? Or will we all resume and answer the call? Will we be students of the Word of God? Will we share with others and invite them that they might come and hear the good news of Jesus Christ? Will you answer the call, my brother? Will you answer the call, my sister? Will we enter into the arena? Will we answer? Will we come out of the corner for Jesus Christ? Answering the call as members of the family of God. Romans chapter 1. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1 and get verse number 8. I love this verse too. This is another great verse, Romans. Now, all the Bible, have you noticed that there are great verses all over the Bible? But Romans chapter 1 and verse number 8, look at this one, look at this one. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that, get this, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul had never been to the Church of Christ in Rome, and he is writing them, and he says, I thank my God that your faith, that your belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is spoken of throughout the whole world. Do you know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is spoken of throughout the whole world? And now we have to help people come to a greater understanding of the good news of Jesus Christ, that they might be obedient to the word of God, that they might be baptized into the body of Christ, because Jesus is going to save his body. There are a lot of religious people out there, and we want them all to be saved, even our enemies. We want them to be convicted of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come, and to be obedient to the good news of Jesus Christ. And yes, I said that, even our enemies. I know sometimes we just want to stomp on our enemies' head. We want to destroy our enemies. I believe it was Abraham Lincoln, and I understand that he was also a member of the church. He said, do I not destroy my enemy when I make him my friend? Do I not destroy my enemy when I make him my brother? Do I not destroy my enemy when I make him or her my brother, my sister in Christ? That's how we destroy. That's how we bring the world together, by making all brothers and sisters in Christ. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 9, Paul says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Can we at least pray for folks? That's what we say sometimes. Well, I at least can pray. No, no. At least it's not when we pray to God. It is a wonderful thing when we can talk to God about others. It's a wonderful thing when we can call God's blessings upon others. It's a wonderful thing when we can speak to God and beg him to bring some soul that is lingering, some soul that is on the verge of obedience. When we answer the call and we tell them and we share them and we teach them the good news of Jesus Christ, we can make our enemy our brother. We can make our enemy our sister. And when we have brothers and sisters in Christ who turn out to be enemies, let's look at what thus saith the Lord and follow what thus saith the Lord. Let's not make ourselves God. Let's let God be God. Is that all right? Matthew 28 and verse number 19. It's the marching orders for the church. It's still there. It's not going to go away. Even if you cut it out of your Bible, it's still in there. The Bible says, go ye therefore. Is that what yours says? Teach who? Teach all, teach everybody, teach all nations, everybody, teach them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That is our role. That is our responsibility. Not just the preachers, not just the teachers, not just the elders, not just the deacons. It is the responsibility of every member of the family of God. But will you answer the call? Will you answer the call, my brother? Will you answer the call, my sister? Will we stand up for Jesus? Romans chapter 1 and verse number 10. Paul says, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey. Brother, I want to come and see you. Sister, I want to come and see you. As we have traveled all over the world to make disciples, doesn't it make sense that we will go back just like Apostle Paul did and check and see how our brothers are doing? All of these missionary works that we enumerated that are around the country and around the world, does it not make sense that we would get ourselves together and that we would go back and we would check and we would support and we would encourage and we would build up the kingdom of Jesus Christ in those areas that we have supported and that we have brought into a relationship with Christ? Don't we go back and check on them? Don't we go back? And certainly, we very much need to make sure that we keep them constantly in our prayers? Are we going to answer the call? Do you answer the call? Will you answer the call, my brother? Will you answer the call, my sister? In verse number 11, Romans chapter 1, Paul says, "For I desire, for I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you might be established." I desire to. Do we want to see our brothers and sisters? Do you want, can you visualize when we come back together? I believe that's going to be a hallelujah time. Brother Arzell, you're going to be ready to sing on that day? They tell me there's a difference between singing and sang. Oh, he sang that. But we're going to make a joyful noise for the Lord. When we're able to come together, won't that be a great reunion time? Don't you know that there are folk that miss members of the family of God, miss folk coming together, and when we have that hallelujah time, it's going to be a wonderful time to come together. But what about those that are spread out all over that called in? Those in Africa, those in Belize, those in Europe, those who are all over the world, those who are in New York, those who are outside of our local area. Don't we want to go back and check and see how they're doing? Don't we want to continue to build up that kingdom of Jesus Christ? Don't we want to have some fruit among them like Apostle Paul says? Listen, when we go, brother, we spend thousands of dollars to go out on vacation just to please ourselves. We saw folk during the Thanksgiving pandemic who were leaders in particular communities saying, no, don't go out and be with your family and your friends and loved ones. And some of them are calling from places where they have already been out and they're assembled with their family in other places. And people spend money. We do what we want to do. Do you know that? We spend the money, we do it, and we don't think anything about it. But what about investing and answering the call for Jesus Christ? Going here and there. And as we go, we preach, we teach, we share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I know some folk get caught up behind preachers. And I think it's important that we take time out to understand this. That we don't get caught up behind any individual. That we don't get caught up behind some individual preacher or individual Bible school teacher. Now, all of us need to strive to do our best. And yes, we are preferable. We have preferences for the way some people teach versus listen. But let's make sure that we support the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even when your preacher is not preaching, or even when your song leader is not singing, all of us ought to still be involved in the worship. Amen, electric lights. I just say that for myself, and y'all don't need to say. Listen, I believe that's what the scripture supports and encourages us to do. Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, get that, Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 15. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 15, because everybody that preaches and teach don't preach or teach for the same reason. But the good thing is when Jesus is preached. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 15, Paul says, "Some indeed preach Christ of envy and of strife, and some also of goodwill." Now, so some people preach Christ of envy. They're jealous of other preachers. Some folk preach Jesus of envy. They're jealous of other teachers and preachers. Some of strife. Some want to add a burden on somebody else that's preaching. And some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, one sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, is what Paul says. But listen, brother. The bottom line here is Christ is preached. And we ought to be able to support the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's not try to preach from strife or from envy, but preach because we recognize that we're servants of Jesus Christ and we answer the call. And let's not let people get it twisted. And don't let people get it twisted. Oh, Brother Wilkinson, oh, you really? Yeah, no. I'm just sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what my responsibility is. That's what my role is, to answer the call, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 27, I like Moses' attitude in Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 27. Brother Gary gave us on Wednesday night a couple of names from the Egyptians. And I'm going to give you a couple of names from the wandering through the desert. He was asking about the midwives. He gave us a couple of names, but I'm going to give you, do you know Eldad and Medad? You remember Eldad and Medad? In Numbers chapter 11, in verse number 27, the Bible says, "And there ran a young man and told Moses, saying, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp." Moses was outside the camp, and Moses was teaching and preaching the word of God. And then here comes Joshua. He's running to Moses. He said, hey, Moses, wait a minute. There's somebody else preaching, Eldad and Medad. They're preaching and they're prophesying in the camp. Notice in verse number 28, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant Moses, ran. One of his young men answered and said, "My Lord Moses, forbid them." Moses, stop them from preaching. Verse 29, Moses said unto him, "Enviest thou for my sake?" Moses, wait, hold up. Are you jealous for me? He says, "Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." Moses says, don't be jealous of me. Listen, don't be jealous for one brother or one sister against another. That's not what we're trying to do. What Moses said is, "I would to God that all of the Lord's people were prophets." My prayer is that all of God's people will answer the call. Will you answer the call, my brother? Will you answer the call, my sister? Will you stand up and tell somebody about Jesus? You know, you have somebody's ear that other people don't have. Some people will listen to you when they won't listen to other people. Some people will hear you and they will think about it, turn it over in their minds, and that person, because of you, could become a child of God. But brother, listen, sister, listen. It is important that we take time out to answer the call, the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 14, Paul recognized that he had a debt, something that needed to be paid. You have a debt, my brother. You have a debt, my sister. It's something that only you can pay. We have to pay our own debts. The Bible says, "I am debtor," Romans 1:14, to who, Paul? "Both to the Greeks and the barbarians." To those who are the Greek speakers, Paul says, "I owe." To the barbarians. Barbarians, that comes from bar, that is people who didn't sound like they were speaking Greek, sound at bar. We don't understand what they're saying. "I am debtor to both the Greeks and the barbarians." These would be the Gentiles. Notice, "both to the wise and the unwise." I am a debtor. What is the debt I owe? Do you know that we owe the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person that we come into contact with? The question is, will you answer the call? Because there are some people that will only listen to you. There are some people that will only listen to a particular individual. Maybe some people will listen to me, but listen, there are people whose ear you have. And the question is, brother, sister, will you answer the call? I have to recognize that this is a debt that I owe. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse number 21, Paul again shows us that he's going to do this foolish thing. 1:21, "For after the wisdom of the world, for after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Yeah, you know, you make a fool of yourself when you're preaching. You know, people go, "Oh, Lord," it's like he ended up there, he acting crazy. You know, I know sometimes in different religious organizations that some people say, "Oh, they acted a fool." And I hear people say, "Oh, God showed up and showed out." I'm telling you, God just be God. Everything God does is amazing. And so we are amazed. God does not have to show out for man. What we do is show out. Sometimes we, but here it is. Paul says, it's the foolishness of preaching. I know. Sometimes it looks like, what is he talking about? What is she talking? It's the foolishness. And that's from the scientific end. It's like, well, we can't put God under a microscope and examine God and come out with the conclusion that there is God. Don't you know that this was all from the Big Bang? And some folks, you are too intelligent, you're too knowledgeable to get up and preach this stuff about Jesus. And all. Do you really believe that? Absolutely. I hope I never get so smart that I don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The foolishness of preaching, because the world by wisdom did not know God, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God is an awesome God. God has brought us into the body of Jesus Christ by the foolishness of preaching. And you know what? If you are going to become into the family of God, as a member of the family of God, as a son or daughter, it's going to be by the foolishness of preaching that God brings you into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1 is a very, very powerful and very interesting part of the work of God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16 is one of those verses of scripture that I think most of us know and look forward to. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And that's what Paul was able to say. I'm not ashamed. It might be foolishness to some folk, but listen, I'm not going to be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To who? To everyone that believeth. And that's what I say. If you're listening, and we've had people that have been visiting with us. We have people that have become longtime visitors, and we are so thankful that you are visiting with us. We have up to 545 people that are journeying with us through the Bible on our Facebook page, Journey Through the Bible, 365 Day Journey. And all of them are not members. All of you are not members of the church. You have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ. But listen, my friend, thank you for visiting with us. But there is nothing better than when a visitor becomes a brother or a sister in Christ. If you believe that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, if you believe that, simply a change of mind is what repentance is. Turning from self and sin and turning to God. That, listen, I made up my mind. I don't want to do it my way anymore. I want to do it God's way. That's repentance. And then simply confess your belief that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. And we got water in the pool. Yeah, we do. And we will baptize you into the body of Jesus Christ. And you'll be added to the body of Christ. And Paul says, the gospel is God's power. I'm not ashamed of it. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, of the Jew first and also to the Greek. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 25, there are some people, again, they got to worship something that they can see, something that they can touch. And again, the Bible says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature. That's what I said before. Brother, listen. Sister, listen. Don't get caught up behind some individual. I meet people and tell me, my pastor is, I don't care who your pastor is. My pastor, my preacher, I don't care who your preacher is. No, I don't. What I care about is whether or not you have been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't get caught up behind some man. Don't get caught up behind some woman. Will you answer the gospel call in this case? And some men have hindered people from being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible reminds us, again, in verse number 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Who is blessed forever? It's the creator, not the creature. Serve God, not man. All right, I kind of covered most of Romans chapter 1. There's a whole bunch more in Romans chapter 1. But the time on the clock says it's time for me to move on. And I have to go ahead and wrap up Romans chapter 2. One of the big things that you'll see there, the righteous judgment of God in Romans chapter 2. And in Romans chapter 3, you see that God is faithful and men are suspect. Let God be true and every man a lie. Will you answer the call? Those of us who have obeyed the gospel, you've answered that call. You become a member of the family of God. But now we have a responsibility to take the word of God into all the world, or as we go, as we come into contact with people, say something to somebody about Jesus. A good starting point is to invite others. And I invited several people, listen, come and join us in our Facebook Live and come and join us in our live stream. And I've invited folk to join us on conference call. And we keep inviting. And our prayer is that something will be said that you too might be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I read a verse out of chapter 2? Romans chapter 2 and verse number 1. Let me do that. Okay, I turned in how many? I said, all right, I think I can cover this many. But let me get Romans chapter 2 and verse number 1. Notice this. The Bible says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. Do you know that when we stand before God in judgment, excuses will not matter? Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same things. It's really easy for us to look and see what's wrong with other people. Did you know that? But we need to turn that same lens on ourselves. There are people that will condemn you because of what is in their own hearts and in their own minds that have nothing to do with God. But Paul says we're inexcusable if we don't accept the good news of Jesus Christ. The heavens show the glory of God. And there's no denying that God created this world and that we have an obligation to be obedient to the gospel. And for those of you who have been continuing to visit with us, my question to you, will you answer the gospel call? Will you be baptized today in water for the remission of sins? You can be added to the church that Jesus built. And there is the church that Jesus built. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Somebody ought to be saved today. The water is ready. As members of the family of God, we stumble, we fall, we make mistakes. We come back through confession, repentance, and prayer. Our prayer is that this morning, somebody will answer the call of the gospel. May God bless you. May God keep you. Thank you for your time and your attention.
If you just ask the Savior to help you, he will comfort, strengthen, and keep you. I know Jesus is willing to aid you. My Jesus will carry you through.